It has been 20, for some we'll say long years, for some 20 short years since the Canadian light source, the synchrotron, came to Saskatoon and the University of Saskatchewan. Rob Lamb, who is, what's your official title here, Rob?
Chief Executive Officer.
So tell us, what's been happening at the Canadian light source in the last number of years?
A lot. So it started 20 years ago when they actually turned the first sod to build this thing. Back in 2005, we celebrated the first scientists coming from Canada to use the facility. And now, at 20 years on, we have thousands of scientists, not just from Canada, but from across the world, who are coming to use the facility. And there are lots and lots of laboratories here that are unique, both here and internationally.
Now, I understand NASA has paid a visit to our facility.
Yeah, NASA's one of a number of government agencies in the U.S. that has come to use this, and it really goes to the core of what this place is. It's a source of light. So it's the Canadian light source, so it's Canada's source of light that everybody else uses. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to look at components in a satellite. And I need to go back and explain why people like NASA and all these scientists are interested in this thing. It's because if you have a really good light, then you can see stuff you could never see before. And the way I like to think of it is, what we've done is, if you see these supernova, the Crab Nebula, things like this, the light that a synchrotron produces is exactly the same as that. So it's got all the colors of the universe, and it's incredibly bright, millions of times brighter than the sun. So when you want to look at something with that sort of light, you can see things because you're able to zoom in and look at stuff that was not visible to the naked eye.
So have there been some developments, and let's just use NASA as an example, but have there been some developments from the Canadian light source that they have already capitalized on?
Yeah, there's bits and satellites now up there that would have started by being looked at in the Canadian light source, because we were able to see that the components were in place, that there were small elements in there that may or may not have been correctly positioned. And with this light, you can see things like that. And so then, of course, it goes into these experimental satellites.
And then a lot of the developments, I think we sometimes lose track on how they actually benefit me, your average consumer of a household product. Because I do know over the years, NASA, their discoveries have led to better consumer products.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch for us.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I knew something more about NASA than I do, but I take it as other places where that may actually be the case.
Well, let me ask you this then, because something that's very important to Saskatchewan is our wheat. And I understand there have also been some developments on how we can maintain the quality of our wheat products.
Yeah, so what we do here is we look at stuff. And one of the big areas is microscopy. And the point is that what you can actually do is you can look at a plant in the pot growing in real time in one of our microscopes. So you can feed it something, and then you can quietly watch as it gets picked up in the image in the roots, and you can actually see it going up into the stems. You can even see stuff coming out of the leaves. And you can see this because it's in this perfect image that because of the light that we have. So now if something goes wrong, you can look right inside and see where it's going wrong. You can't do that when you're looking at it with just the light that we see in a room or in the sun. So you can go right in there, you can see how this thing lives. And we drew that out of the fact that we do a lot of health research here. And you know what? If a plant gets sick, and they do get sick, then the economy of Canada gets sick, right? And so if you get sick, it's your problem. If a plant gets sick, it's everybody's problem. And I think that was the key to this. So we look at things like scab in wheat. We looked at drought resistance, because I was really surprised when I came to this country that you have droughts. But the reality is you do. And what do you do when you're watering a plant and it's not responding? Is it dead, or is it just suffering from a lack of water? Now, we can look at that, and scientists from around the country then say, well, what we need to do is we need to toughen up the insides of these wheat plants so they don't bend and twist when they don't get enough water. So when the water comes back, they're still going.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that the reeds, which we sometimes consider a nuisance around our ponds and sloughs, may actually have a use thanks to what has been discovered here.
Yeah, so this is the bits of silicon that come out of plants, and we do a lot of energy research. It's called energy now. I call it batteries, and we're looking at batteries. And one of the things we're adding to the battery is not just the lithium, which you hear all the time, but little additives like sulfur and also silicon. What it means is that we are able to get batteries that have high capacity but don't burn up, because there's a lot of energy sitting inside a battery. So this is, as I used to say in the old days, this is chemistry changing life. So the point is, you only need traces of this stuff. It comes out of those reeds. It comes out of those grasses. We have a lot of that stuff here, you know. You don't need a lot. But when you got it, you need to know where to put it. And unless you've got a good light, you don't know where to put it. And so that's critical as well. And it's a unique Saskatchewan thing, you know. This thing is here. There's one of these in each developed country in the world. And I always say to people, when I was a kid, my mother had a perfume bottle on the dresser, and it had the names of cities. And it turns out these are the names of cities where the synchrotron light source of the country is. So it went something like Berlin, Paris, London, New York, Chicago, you know that sort of perfume bottle, Tokyo, Saskatoon. It's in Saskatoon, and this is amazing. So we should be doing more and more wheat and reeds and grass, because we have a lot of it.
So tell me this. It's 20 years old. It was a long time in the development. Is there a lifespan?
There is. These things are like people. It's like synchrotron light source years, like dog years. This thing is now late middle age. At 20 years, it's late middle age. It's got a full complement of laboratories. There's 22 of these laboratories wrapped around a ring. And the next generation is coming on the scene. Surprisingly, in the countries you least expect. Sure, they're coming in America. Sure, they're building them in Europe. But they've already got one in Sweden. They've got one operating in Brazil. And it struck us that this is the future, because now people are saying, that's great, but I want to see an even brighter light. And so what we're designing up now is CLS 2.0, which very much like CLS, only bigger and even brighter with a much smaller spot. And what that'll open up is a whole area of research into disease and drugs, because now not only can we see something in position on a board or whatever and when we're adjusting it, but we have a lab down there that is at the point we will actually be able to see the atoms dancing. And I think that is the core of where we need to be.
So please tell me a CLS 2.0 will be here.
Hey, I always say to people, that's above my pay grade. You know, I'm a scientist and I'm interested in actually creating a program like what we have. I'm the fourth chief executive, and so I was really proud to come in and stand on the shoulders of the other three people. But the reality is, it was my job to say, well, the rest of the world is moving this way. We want to do what Canada does best. We want to see that direction. We want to get in front of them. And I reckon we can do that here, because this place has been around, we talk about 20 years, but it's been around for over half a century, because this thing is here. Because we built this on top of an accelerator laboratory. All the equipment was designed right here in Saskatchewan. You know, even some of the stuff that I walk around when I first came here from Australia, and I say, where we get that? And people say, we built it. So I'll put big plates now saying, made in Saskatchewan. And you know what? People outside are going to know that, because at this stage of the game, they still say, Saska what?
Now we go from Rob Lamb to Rob Norris. And what's your official title, Rob?
I'm the Senior Government Relations Officer here at the Canadian Light Source Synchrotron.
Okay, so Rob told us where we're at, where we're headed to, but I think it's always important, too, that you know where you came from, which is what I want to talk to you about, because the Canadian Light Source dates back to, what was it, 1948 I saw on the wall?
You know, when we think about the significance of the University of Saskatchewan and the University of Saskatchewan's real strength in the sciences, we can go all the way back to the creation of the U of S in 1907, when we think about College of Arts and Science and a College of Agriculture. It meant that we were going to be very strong in those sciences. We can think about the early years of the province, where science really helped to ensure that we were part of a growth agenda, and we can think about helping to feed the world. Then we can think about the significance of Walter Murray, the first president. He was actually the Western Canadian representative that recommended to the federal government during the First World War that there be established a National Research Council. And so, again, Saskatchewan playing a lead role, the University of Saskatchewan playing a lead role for the country and for the world was going to be very important. During the Depression, obviously, science was going to help our farmers, and the federal government, provincial government, and the University of Saskatchewan all worked very, very hard to make sure that we were helping to fight that drought. So when we think about the science piece, we can think about the significance of the work that's been undertaken over now more than a century. Specifically, we can think about people like Hertzberg, who come here in the 1930s. They keep working, and he would go on to win a Nobel laureate. That science emphasis really helped to ensure that the likes of Dr. Johns, the late 40s, early 1950s, were going to lead the way in nuclear medicine and research that was undertaken. By the early 1960s, the linear accelerator was being built here at the University of Saskatchewan. Again, a large recognition, a large contribution that Saskatchewan was going to make to forwarding science.
Now, that linear accelerator was actually, would it be best described as the impetus for what eventually became the Canadian Light Source?
That's exactly right. Essentially, we had this great investment from the early 1960s. It was operating, you know, we can think about kind of a 30-year lifespan. And suddenly, instead of closing down the linear accelerator, we were able to build upon it. And the Canadian government, the provincial government, the city of Saskatoon all rallied around and said, let the University of Saskatchewan again be recognized as a leader in national and global science. And so we think about 20 years ago and the University of Saskatchewan being home to the Canadian Light Source Synchrotron with that groundbreaking.
Now, tell me, I know from a science perspective and just from a pride perspective, the developments and the research that's happened here and everything that's come of it as a result, we're all very proud of that. But from a hardcore financial standpoint, what does this facility mean to the University of Saskatchewan, the province?
Well, you know, this science facility means that each year, we are able to ensure that there are millions of dollars of investments in large measure, thanks to our partners in Ottawa and in Regina, from private sector partners that come in. We're able to ensure that there are far more jobs. Today, there are more than 300 people working between the University of Saskatchewan and the Canadian Light Source working here. Our annual budget is between $40 and $50 million a year. And so that's a real strong financial impetus and benefit to Saskatoon and to Saskatchewan. But I think as importantly, it's also a point of pride. You know, when we think about maybe a couple decades ago, a great concern in this province and maybe in a sense for the country was brain drain, that is people leaving. And when we think now of Saskatchewan, we can think about brain gain, the largest population that we've had in the provincial history. And I think the Canadian Light Source is a big part of that symbol of brain gain, of people from around the world coming, rolling up their sleeves, wanting to work hard and make contributions to our local community, to our province, to our country, and in fact, to our world. And so every day it's a privilege to come to work here because there really are people from around the world that are helping to ensure that we're thinking about our kids and thinking about our future.
Yeah, and it's true, isn't it, that if you don't have something that the world wants, they forget about you.
You know, we were optimists once again in Saskatchewan. If you build it, they will come. We built it. They've come. The work's underway. And today it really allows us to put that flag up to say we are taking a leadership role for all of Canada, helping to play a modest but important role for around the world. Our scientists are doing some of the leading edge science, health research, in agricultural research, in areas of innovation relating to energy and the environment and advanced materials. What that means is we're making the world a better place for our kids.